Greetings from the Simon Schmid podcast. I hope everybody's well, that you're safe, you're looking after yourselves, your health and your well-being in these very difficult times that we are faced in and are facing going forward, living in a state of fear. But if there's any advice I can give you, it's just to really increase your self-care during these difficult times. I've just finished some self-care work in the garden at home in London, some exercise, throwing some very light dumbbells around, but feeling great, loving these beautiful summer days, and looking forward to a magical weekend. So I've had massive resistance in talking about this specific topic today. And I thought to myself why I've had resistance. And I'm not a person that struggles to talk about my experiences and my vulnerabilities, because that's what makes me a very authentic coach. I'm not a coach with an MBA or a qualification. I say to my clients that I've got a QBE. I'm qualified by experience. But this particular topic, I find and am finding right now difficult to talk about. And it comes from a place of real respect towards my brother. And whether he listens to this podcast or not, I will always love my brother. I respect him. He's a fantastic guy, that he was put in a very difficult situation. So this doesn't come from a place of blame or shame or judgment. It comes from a place of love and care towards him. But as I've committed to myself in 2014 to look after myself and enjoy the experience of being Simon Schmid, and become more of a conscious man from a man that lived unconsciously for so many years. This is a part of my process of diving back to the source, to understand, to assess, to analyze, and to ultimately heal from very difficult experiences. I had a wonderful relationship with my brother. We were incredibly close. I made a decision at the age of 13 when my stepdad murdered my mother to have a relationship with my stepdad and my brother. My stepdad got off the murder charges and he got custody of my brother. And I knew that even at the age of 13, if I in any way showed disregard, disrespect, anything towards my stepdad that was negative, he would have cut me out of my brother's life. And I loved my brother. He was 3 at the time. I was 13. And I wanted to have a relationship with him because I know that's what my mother would have wanted. And it's what I wanted, a relationship with my brother. But the sacrifice I made myself was to have to be around and face the man that murdered my mother. And when I think back now on how difficult that actually was, and I actually still can't really make sense of it, to be quite honest with you. Sleeping in the same home, spending time in the same home that my mother was murdered in, and spending time and having a relationship with a man that murdered my mom. So I sacrificed myself forgive and forget was my approach at the tender age of 13. You know, I get goosebumps thinking about, you know, I actually get quite emotional thinking about it. You know, I've got a son who's 14, I've got a daughter who's 15, and I've got a younger daughter who's 8. And I was 13 years old, having been thrust into those decisions. But you know, that was my experience, and that was life making me a success. So life continued. I had a wonderful relationship with my brother, very involved in his life. He absolutely adored me. My brother loves sport and rugby, and I was a rugby player. And we were close. Nothing was ever spoken about. And then when my brother started hitting the age of 16, the cracks started to show. And I think it was in his matric year. And just to recap, nothing was ever spoken about. We never spoke about anything. My brother, you know, didn't know what the circumstances were. I never spoke about it. It was just never spoken about at all, especially even friends. So my brother started having a difficult time with his stepdad, and I never forget it. I was seeing a therapist, and I said to my brother, I think you should come with me to this, you know, you need some support. And he was having a difficult time with his dad. And, you know, teenager, you know, his dad had some amazing qualities, but he was incredibly controlling and incredibly manipulative. And I think my brother was rebelling against that. That's my observation. So I took him to my therapist, and I never, ever forget it. We were sitting down there and we were discussing a few things. And I turned around and I said, you know, it hasn't been difficult because of what Dad's done did to Mom. And he looked at me and said, what do you mean, Dad? What do you mean? And I said, well, what happened? And he said, well, what do you mean what happened? And I never ever forget his face, and I get quite sad thinking about it. Sorry. And I said to him, I turned to him, I said, well, Dad murdered Mom. And his face, the blood drained down from his face, and the look of shock through his eyes was so profound. I still feel it today, and I think about it regularly. And he didn't know and have any idea what had happened. He was 3 at the time, and so effectively at confirmation, and I also had confirmation that our lives were a lie, were built on a lie. His stepdad knew that there was something wrong, started phoning me, because my brother didn't want to go back to Durban from Cape Town. He was down spending some time with me. And the truth was out. But, you know, it's his dad. What must he do? What should he do? And regardless of what my stepdad did and the difficulties he put on a lot of people, my mom's side of the family, myself, he's done a fantastic job on my brother. He really has. Everyone's got their faults. But for those of you who know my brother, he's a fantastic boy. He's very well liked. He's a great guy. So life continued as it seemed to happen with myself, the forgive and forget. Revert back to default behavior, I suppose. And then fast forward a few years, my stepdad gets cancer. And he fights it, gets the best care possible. But he's just on a slippery slope. And I was very, very much involved with my brother and my stepdad and his health. And really being a major support to my brother in a very difficult time that he was facing. You know, I could imagine the fear for him. You know, I had a family. I had a wife. I had kids. I was very close to my wife's family. And my brother was facing having no parents. I can't imagine the difficulty that must have caused him. So during this time, my stepdad would get better. Then he would get, it would come back. Anyway, fast forward, he fought it for 2 years. And then eventually it was just too much. And it obviously took its control. Very difficult for my brother. At the same time, my marriage was also quite wobbly, having had a break a few months before the nuclear bomb hit on the 5th of the 6th, 2014. But we get to this, the day that the nuclear bomb hits, the 5th of the 6th, 2014. And my brother phones me. And he said to me, I've got the will. And I said, okay. And he said, you're not in it. And I'd known this man since I was 5. He was a massive part of my life. And on top of it, he took my mother's life. So the staff member, the main staff member, got left a substantial amount of money. Her kids got acknowledged, and obviously my brother was the main beneficiary. And it wasn't about the money. It was about acknowledgement, because I was a family member. That night, my wife leaves me. That night, my stepdad dies. The next day, I bury my stepdad. And so this experience starts to unfold. But that's for another podcast. And I felt like this whole thing was a lie. This whole relationship I've had with my brother, the sacrifices I'd made to have a relationship with him and my stepdad was all for nothing. But once I dealt with the rejection of being left out, I sort of made sense of why my stepdad did this. Do I think my stepdad loved me? Possibly. Do I think my stepdad started to believe his own story about what he did that night? 100%, because I asked him when he was really ill, tell me what happened. And he came up with that bullshit story about what happened. My mom tried to stab him. He fired a warning shot. Then he shot her. And he shot her in the head, then in the chest, and then the fatal shot in the head again. Still so difficult for me to understand. So unfair in so many ways. So, you know, my stepdad was Jewish, and the Jewish tradition, or not tradition, is they bury in 24 hours. So 24 hours later, I arrive in Durban, coming from Cape Town. My wife left me. Kids are, well, they're moving out. And I arrive at the funeral, and my brother's really angry and, you know, had resistance towards the Jewish traditions as it was. But I was absolutely broken and devastated. You know, I don't know if any of you have been to a Jewish funeral. It's incredibly graphic. It's really very heart sore. Very in your face. And I must say, I had some tremendous relationships with some Jewish people in Durban that I'd met through my stepdad that were incredibly kind and wonderful to me and still are. And I'm very thankful for that. So life continues, and my brother's been left this large sum of money, and the process starts of winding the estate up. Difficult time, very costly experience. My stepdad at the time had a girlfriend that was left a small amount of money, but then decided to go for more. And without boring you with the details, there's a clause in South African law that a spouse or a family member that feels that they haven't been looked after based on circumstances from an estate or a can actually make a claim. And she made a claim, and she was successful in winning. And I'm not sure of the amount, but it was a million or so she got awarded. Did it cross my mind to do the same? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. You're not dealing with a couple hundred thousand rand. You're dealing with a substantial amount of money. But that's not the platform to discuss this. The details are irrelevant. Excuse the lawnmower. And I was basically thrust into making and helping my brother with some very difficult decisions and navigating him through this difficult time with this woman, Jackie, and the unfairness of her making a claim. But unaware to my brother, and I don't blame him for this, I had this constant reminder of being left out, this constant reminder of being not acknowledged. And it caused friction in our brotherhood. And my brother's view was that it wasn't his fault. And my view was that your dad's done this to destroy our brotherhood. And it's a difficult situation. It's a very difficult situation for anybody to be in. You know, I think when you inherit a large amount of money as a young man, it must be incredibly scary. You know, my brother's as I said many times in this podcast, he's a wonderful guy, and he's not a flash guy. He's not careless. He's not reckless. So I think it's been quite difficult for him, having that responsibility of inheriting this money. I can only understand that the difficulty that it causes somebody in their decision process of how they're going to live their life and properties they've got to manage. And it's, yeah, it's not easy. From being a person or a teenager or a young man that was completely just had to, you know, was studying, you know, didn't have any worries, to having this big responsibility and running properties and all sorts of things. So our relationship started, the fracture started to be, how can I say it, the fracture was there. And there was this, always this energy around this issue. And, you know, I can not be a very easy person at times, and nor can my brother, and it slowly caused a rot in our relationship. So I'm fast forward a few years, I moved to England, and on this path of the journey that I'm on, one thing is about living in my truth. And I was got to the stage where I thought to myself that this relationship is not serving us well, and it's not serving me well. And I took a decision to unbrother. And the reason I took that decision to unbrother was simply because I knew that if I didn't live in my truth, if I didn't move away, we would end up destroying this wonderful experience that we've had up until now. We would end up hating each other. We'd end up not loving each other. And ultimately, we would end the wonderful memories and erase those memories and destroy everything we've had, which I didn't want to do. So the decision to unbrother was really just to keep everything and those memories intact and still have the same respect for each other as we've always had. So we decided to unbrother. Am I comfortable with my decision? 100%. Do I miss my brother? I miss the experiences we've had and creating more. But no, I don't. I know that might seem odd for some, but that's just my truth. Sometimes in life, you've got to make a decision when you feel like you might start underperforming with work, with a colleague, with a lover, with a family member. You've got to make a decision. Do you want to keep those memories intact and keep the love and care you have for that person? Because if you can't dissolve them together, you have to make a decision to separate, because it's not going to serve you well. Was a very difficult time for me to do that. I felt it very difficult. I contemplated it a lot. But I don't regret my decision, because I still care, love, and respect my brother. We wished each other well. I'm sure he'll have an abundant life with lots of joy. And he did the same for me. And we walked away from each other with the utmost respect. So that's my little take on unbrothering. Whether it's right or wrong, I don't really care. It's about what serves you right and what's living in your truth is. and closing the loop on behavior that you're not prepared to accept. Because, as I've spoken before many times, putting your self-care first is a priority, and putting yourself first is a priority. Because if you don't show up as the best version of you, how can you serve that person or let that person experience the best version of you? So I want to thank the people that have supported me through this difficult time. You know who you are. I hope this helps to anyone that listens about a difficult situation that they might be facing or are face or have faced with a family member, lover. Ask yourself the question, do you want to keep the memories intact and keep that respect and love for somebody if you can't solve the issues together and dissolve them as a team? Or do you walk away? So that's my little spin from London, not the Hampshire Hills. Have a wonderful weekend. And that's it for now.